If you got Bibles with you today, keep them open to Romans chapter 5. I want to look through this passage from Paul today. On what is January 5th is the final day of Christmas every year. And it just so happens that today on the Sunday is the 5th this year, so the timing's kind of interesting. Tomorrow is Epiphany Feast. So tomorrow on the 6th of January, and often on the Sunday right closest to it like this, we would celebrate Epiphany together as a congregation. We remember how Jesus is visited by men from the East, Magi, who come and they engage with Jesus, much like the shepherds did, but they've been led by a star. They come in, and unlike the shepherds who were Jewish, these men were anything but. And it points to the fact that Christ in his incarnation came not only for the Jew, not only for the righteous, not only for those who have been marked, but for all men, Jew and Gentile. And so Epiphany, and now we head into a time next week, the colors will turn to green again, and we'll spend some time in ordinary time together, where we just walk through a season that's often actually called each Sunday Epiphany Sunday. 1, 2, 3, 4, and we just live into this glorious reality that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is for you. It's for everyone that you're encountering and engaging with missionally. There is no one that the gospel was not intended for. That this message of good news is good news for all men. It's declared to the shepherds in the story we've spent so much time in the past couple weeks, and it's seen again when these people come from the East. And as we turn our attention to Romans chapter 5 today, we head into what is just a beautiful portion of the scriptures. This letter to the Romans from Paul, especially chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, are just profoundly deep theologically, but really practical for us as men and women who live in the flesh, but of the Spirit, who live in this now and not yet. Who wrestle and who walk in this life, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power. We have sin in our lives that we are overcoming on a daily basis, that we are walking through and contending with. There's sin and darkness all around us. It says that Jesus came like light into the darkness, and the reality of us is that all of us are somewhat familiar with this darkness. It's touched our lives. We've had hard days, we've wrestled with our own sin, we've wrestled with the way that other people's sin has impacted our lives. And so this is a real gift, these portions of scripture from Paul, because he speaks the gospel in a very practical way into really important and everyday parts of our lives and our journeys as men and women. So I want to spend some time in it today. Let's start in verse 12. We'll come back to the beginning near the end of my teach. But would somebody read for me Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14?
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam,
So here Paul describes for us the darkness that John's gospel speaks to, that Jesus came into. He uses the language of trespass. And he describes this trespass of Adam, this sin of Adam that we have all been born into. And he begins to describe the darkness for us in a little bit of detail. But it's the kind of detail that's just really easy to take hold of. We can apply it to our own lives and see how this is true of our experience, right? But in some ways, these verses in Romans chapter 5 are trying to bring to us an awareness and an honesty in relationship to what Paul's going to refer to as the trespass, the darkness, the sin. And if you look at it there, it talks about the fact that this sin leads to death. That it's the kind of thing in our lives, the trespass that creates, it leads to condemnation. We're going to get to that in verse 15. It speaks of this trespass, and it draws it for us in a way that paints this picture for us, that it wants us to understand that this darkness is totally dark, and it's really, in many ways, pervasive. It hasn't missed one of us. It's touched every one of our lives, both by our own sin and by our own, like being touched by it or influenced by the sin of others or the results or the impact of sin around us. It's pervasive. It actually doesn't take a whole lot to come into touch with this darkness, with this trespass, to see it, to feel it, to experience it, to recognize the impact it's having in our hearts and our lives. But interestingly enough, as obvious as it might seem, and when Paul lays it out like this, he seems pretty confident of it. The reality of it is we don't like to think about it a whole lot. And in fact, I think we're in an environment or a world that would like to try and ignore it at least, if not totally deny it in its entirety. To say it's not that dark. Is it really, you know? And I know that personally, some of you I've even talked to have shared with me that part of what we even try and do is even if we'll acknowledge that there is a trespass, that there is a darkness, we want to downplay it. It's not that big a deal. And the way that I've entered into it is just kind of little. Like that this darkness might have touched my life, but the impact of it hasn't been too bad, right? It's not just sort of a proud and cocky thing to say. The reality of it is we don't often want to really grapple with these things, and we can start to live as if, you know, in light of the darkness, not so dark. Right? It's touched my life, but not in a massive way. I think what Paul wants to do here in Romans chapter 5 with such blatant language when he spells it out and speaks especially of its pervasiveness is to help us connect with it, to become aware of it in a real way. Because in order to rightly know the goodness of the gospel that is the bulk of what Paul's going to talk about, we need first to understand our need for the gospel. To understand how the gospel, which can be translated good news, is good, we first have to, I think, properly understand the need we have for it. And the more we come into a relationship and an understanding of how dark it is, we stand in a bit of a distance or an odd relationship with the light, with the good news and our need for it. Right? I saw like a little video clip online this week, and then somewhere else where someone was talking, it came up when John and I were in a conversation about another guy's presentation that I'd heard, but it was a presentation on sales. And this guy was sort of saying to salespeople, you know, guys, we really need to stop selling ourselves. You're not going to get anywhere selling yourself. Kind of coming out and just sort of as a company saying, you know, Melinda sells kitchen equipment. So she comes out and spends her whole time sort of selling the company, you know, how great they are, and even the kinds of, like, we'll take great care of you, and all these kinds of things. He says, you're not going to get anywhere. He says, what you need to do is help people connect with the real, true need they have for what you're selling. You got to sell them their problem. And I thought, oh, well, that sounds like a pretty tricky little sales move. Sounds a little, you know, whatever. But the reality of it is, it's only tricky and manipulative, I think, if you're sort of immediately I thought of Apple. Apple is touted as the company who created a demand and a need. Like, none of us can live without our devices, right? Well, the reality of it is, we actually can live without the devices. They've just done such a good job of convincing us that we can't, that we got to buy all these, you know, these things, right? So in that sense, that's not what Paul is saying he's trying to do here with this darkness, to bring us into this place where we recognize the problem we have, because the difference is we actually legitimately have it. So he's not actually pointing out or creating a need that we didn't have, or trying to sort of like, I remember I spent a really short time. I was partly because I was so bad at it, and also because I just could. I was a vacuum cleaner salesman for about 2 weeks. And the whole idea was that you created leads and you went door to door with a vacuum cleaner that cost just shy of $3,000 in the year, wow, like 1998. Yeah. It was awful. It was awful. We'll leave the brand name out of the mix. Some of you might know. Like $3,000. And the whole idea was we'd show presentations. And there was a video we were supposed to show that just scared people to death, that if they didn't use this thing, they'd have dust mites in there and they could never get them out. It was just like, it's crazy. I had to get out. It lasted like, I don't even think it was a full 2 weeks. I think I only made the presentation twice. And the first legit one was to a single mom who only had about a 10x10 piece of carpet in the upstairs of her townhouse that she had rent subsidized. And I just thought, how did I even end up here? Like, I got to get out of here. But part of the thing was there, we were trying to sell a problem. So that when they realize, oh, I got a problem, it's bed bugs. And if I don't buy your vacuum cleaner, I'm being a bad mom, you know? Like, this was the, I thought, well, that's ridiculous. You don't actually need this vacuum cleaner, right? It's a completely different thing, though. I think it actually applies in a healthy way when we talk about the gospel. And we walk in people's lives, and even when we consider our own lives. The reality of it is, this isn't like creating the need for something you don't actually need. This is a legitimate issue. This trespass is a major deal, and it's pervasive in our lives. And we see the impacts of it all over our culture, but we see it in our own lives. We see it in our marriages. We see it in our ability to relate to one another, to kind of live with a sense of purpose, and all these things that we long for. The trespass touches all of it. So much so that Paul says, this is the sin that leads to death. It changed everything for humanity. And so into that space, I was thinking about it a bit and thought, you know, really, some of us have a bit of a temptation in light of this trespass to do one of two things. There can be a temptation to underestimate its effect, to try and downplay the trespass. We might do that by accepting the darkness as our reality. That we live in this space, it's broken, and I'm sure you've met people like this and talked with them about the way they perceive even their own sin, right? Part of what we might try to do in that space of underestimating is to justify it. Well, you know, it just seems natural to me. Or it feels right to me. Or look around. Everyone's suffering from the same thing. Perhaps maybe it's just the human characteristic, right? Somebody that might try and challenge the idea of marriage, a monogamous idea of marriage, right? Could come in and say, we see much darkness around the idea of union and marriage and those kinds of things right now around in our world. And so one of the temptations is to underestimate it. You know, it's really not that big a deal, right? Even to live in common law, we call it, right? And to live in the... And the questions come, and they're decent. They're really good questions. But our temptation sometimes is to stop asking the questions, to stop wrestling with the trespass at all, and to try and underestimate its real potency or its impact in our lives. But the other temptation we can have is to overestimate its power in our lives. We can become fixated on the darkness, totally consumed and overwhelmed by it. To the point in which every day when we wake up, our lives are just marked by a sense of hopelessness, fear, anxiety, because all we can see is the darkness, and all we can think is, this trespass is so great, there's nothing we can do. We might feel that as we look at the world around us, but we might even feel that just as we look in the mirror. As we wrestle with our own life and our own sin and our own journey, with the impacts of sin on our lives and our own mental health and our addictions and these kinds, and we sit in these places and we can become overwhelmed by it and tempted to just sort of be overcome by it in a sense which we see it as bigger than we should. Would somebody read for me Romans 5 verses 15 to 17? Because Paul goes on to draw a contrast or a parallel between the trespass and what he refers to as the free gift of God. And so these verses speak now to the free gift. Romans 5 verses 15 to 17.
But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of the righteous reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
Here into what I've been talking about, and what we've been looking at in those first couple of verses, comes the good news. Comes the gospel passage from John that I read, that into the darkness came the light. This is what changes the picture. This is why we are right to not overestimate the darkness. You're not overestimating the darkness if not for Jesus. It is sin that leads to death. You are done and sunk. That is, I think, the reality we need to come to a realization of. But Jesus. That's a big but. Like it's a... That sounded terrible. Yeah, I don't know. He might have. Yeah, yeah. It really dwelt among us, you know. Anyway. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. When Jesus came in the incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus totally disrupted the darkness. He comes into the midst of this trespass and completely disrupts the situation by his very presence. Where we're tempted to underestimate the darkness, Jesus exposes, even by his very presence, its reality. When he walks into situations and the demonic begins to manifest itself. When he walks in people's lives and they come under the true conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we watch them grapple, people like the rich young ruler who goes away sad, people like religious rulers who just can't overcome their pride. Jesus comes and by his very existence as he walks and he interacts with the men, these religious men in John chapter 8 who throw an adulterous woman at his feet. And suddenly what they think is the darkness that can't be overcome is outshone by the light. And the darkness of their own hearts comes flying up in their faces. It says each of them, rather than throwing stones, walked away from the oldest to the youngest. Unable to move in condemnation when they realize they come to an awareness of the trespass in their own hearts. And so Jesus comes like light into darkness and he disrupts this. Where we're tempted to underestimate the darkness, to underestimate the trespass, he exposes its reality. But where we are tempted to overestimate it, Jesus over and over and over again overcomes it. Stories of transformation and healing and freedom and deliverance from demonic oppression, reconciliation. Jesus moves in and through time and space with people. He dwelt among them, and where they were tempted to be overwhelmed by the darkness, they begin to look at each other and say, the light just came into the darkness, and the darkness isn't overcoming it. Those who can see it begin to feel a little bit of hope rising up inside of them. Over and over in Jesus' presence, people are emptied of the trespass and filled with the free gift of God. We watch it as he goes. He encounters some really broken people who are completely transformed. One of his closest friends was a woman named Mary, who he meets in a life of prostitution, and who becomes later one of the first witnesses of the resurrection. He walks in men like Zacchaeus' life, who literally lays down an entire career, but I mean, he's entwined in this career, his identity, everything, and he lays it all down, walks away from it to follow Jesus. We watch as Jesus comes over and over, and in his presence, this incarnational reality of Christ among us, people are emptied of the trespass and filled with the free gift. A free gift that verse 15 says is not like the trespass in its quality. It is a free gift. It is an extension. Ultimately, the gospel is grace. Not deserved. You didn't have to pay for it. Nobody earned it. Most people didn't even hardly at all see it coming. A full gift of grace. It led not to condemnation like the trespass, but to justification. Of those who were marked by the trespass, suddenly now are made right. Righteous. Romans 5 verse 17, I love it. It says, it speaks of this free gift as the abundant grace of God and the free gift of his righteousness. It's really good. And it, like the trespass, is pervasive. Verse 18 points to the fact, and we're going to read it together here in a minute, that this free gift was for all men. So here, as we come into this epiphany together, we recognize again that this good news is not only for some special who can catch it. It is on offer for all of us. And now let me read for you, in light of this trespass and the free gift and the good news of Jesus, let me read for you now from verse 18. Hear the gospel fresh today in light of the incarnation, in the presence of Jesus. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's really good news. I draw your attention to a phrase that Paul uses multiple times throughout this chapter when he says over and over again this phrase, much more. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. In verse 9, much more shall we be saved by him. In verse 10, much more. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. In verse 15, if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Again in verse 17, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Paul points out to us that if you think the darkness was dark, the light is light in such a grander way than the darkness was dark. The trespass was powerful. It had an incredible impact on our lives. But the free gift, it just doesn't even compare. Jesus didn't just come into this world to sort of balance the scales. He blew them out of the water. That the sin that led unto death was bad, but the good gift of eternal life, it's so much beyond even what it needed to be to balance the scales. It's not just good news, it's incredible. It's life-changing. It's supernatural. It can take the old and make it new. It can take the dead and rise and raise it to life again. And when it raises it to life, it is much more than we ever could have hoped for or imagined. Over the last number of weeks and in throughout Advent, we talked about humility a lot because I believe God wanted us to talk about how as we come into relationship with God and we come into the light, we begin to see ourselves in an honest way. Chris reminded us that a big part of humility really is just about honesty. It's just coming into an honest understanding of who we are. We're wonderfully and beautifully made, incredible. I mean, I love you guys. I think you bring incredible stuff to the table. But even on your best day, when light shines in and the truth comes out, we realize, oh, wow. I must decrease, he must increase. And so we've talked about this whole process of God and his love and his grace bringing us to our knees. And how from that place, something becomes possible that's not possible otherwise. When I come to the end of myself and I begin to lay down my own strength, I suddenly am in a position to be moved by, led forward by in His. And so what I wanted to conclude our Advent and Christmas season with was a look at Romans chapter 5 to speak the good news into the places where you're being emptied. To speak the good news into the places where you've been brought to your knees. God empties us that He might fill us again. The scriptures teach us that the Lord exalts the humble. That from our knees, kingdom things can start to happen. That God wants to move in power in us and through us. And the emptying is all unto that reality. And the good news of the gospel stands strong because it doesn't only apply to this life. That one day you will be fully emptied. You will die. I will die. To be filled again. And that same resurrection story, the power of the gospel over the fullness of our existence, applies even today to our lives. It's why we come and pray again and again, Father, I need You. Our emptying is simply us coming to the realization that we need God. And then waiting, as the scriptures encourage us to, for His salvation. Waiting for Him to come and to fill us. Now, I don't want to make small of the fact that sometimes that emptying and that waiting is a very difficult place to be. I think it is goes without saying that it can be some of the hardest parts of our life. But to sit today in the good news of the incarnation with Paul in the book of Romans chapter 5 and to recognize that where the trespass even has emptied me, the grace of God and the free gift of the gospel is much more. With that in mind, let me read for you now the first 5 verses of Romans chapter 5. Verses that without the understanding that we have now can be a little hard to take. But in light of it, hear these fresh today. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'll pick it up in a minute, but just recognize already some of the themes there. As children of God, those of you who have come into covenant relationship with Jesus, you stand in the free gift. The grace that we talk about, that's abundant grace, is yours. The joy and the peace. And in that, even in the spaces of our need and our emptying, hope begins to mark our lives. More than that, so Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because having been emptied, we will be filled. God's love has been poured into, filling our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And so even today, it's right for us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have been emptied. And I invite You to do that everywhere and anywhere that it needs to be done. that I might decrease, but then to pray too, right? Lord, would you increase? Would you pour out your Spirit in my life in a fresh way? Would you allow me again to take hold of hope in a healthy way? Would you let grace, love, righteousness abound in my heart? Let me taste even today in any measure, Lord, of the much more, this free gift of grace. I pray that the Lord would give you eyes to see it, ears to hear his voice, the ability to not be overcome by the darkness, but to see light. That your eyes, even in the midst of a journey and a process of being emptied and filled, would not only see the emptying, but that even today as we come to the Lord's table, he would speak into your journey and into your life of the spaces in which he is right now filling. And to be blessed to hold both. To hold the one before the Lord with a desperate heart. Fill me, Lord. But in the other with a thankful heart. To thank him for the amazing ways that he has provided for you and poured into you and moving and working and shaping. Missionally today, think about it. Where do you see darkness, brokenness, sin, the lostness of people and the world around you? And how might you share the much more of the gospel there in that place? Where you realize, I can see the darkness, but I don't know how to share the much more, would you pray and ask God to teach you in this season? That we might learn how to step into these places and be able to speak light into darkness. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Epiphany, when we remember that this good news, this free gift, is on offer to all men. God, how would you have us share that good news? Speak that into places where even there's hostility against the news. So missionally we consider this good news, but now as we come to the table, I want to bless you and encourage you to consider it personally. How might this much more of the gospel be applied to your story and your heart right now? And come honestly to the table. Pay attention to how that question hits you. To the parts of your heart that would rather I hadn't asked it. Or they're getting tired of hearing it. Pay attention in your own hearts as we come to confession to the places in your life that still need to be emptied. Where still the trespass and its impact need to be overwhelmed, overcome by the free gift of grace. Where you walk in shame, receive this good news today. Where you have fear, receive the much more of the gospel today. Where you feel just totally at your wit's end and emptied beyond what you thought you could stand, I bless you to stand today in the presence of Jesus, the light that came into the darkness and was in no way, shape, or form overcome by it. Perfect timing, perfect timing. I'm getting so good at this.
Impressive.
Oh, man.
Time to blow out the candles?
Not quite. Not quite. Let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord. Prepare to come to the table together. Jesus, as we come to the table today, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, give to us a fresh awareness of the trespass and the way that it's impacted our hearts and our lives. Lord, we come to you in confession, honestly recognizing the parts of our own hearts and journey where we are well acquainted with our need for a Savior.